Hello and welcome to the November 2018 Questions of the Month. We did it. We did it, Alex. We made it. I don't know what milestone this is. Actually, no, this is kind of a milestone. The last episode of the podcast, the Noise Boys, I think it was 14.
I'm not keeping track.
That Noise Boys was episode 91 of Let Me Tell You About. So episode 100 is probably coming up pretty soon. I don't know. It probably won't be for a while. Anyway, you know what's not going to be for a while? The November Questions of the Month. I already said it again, but this has been going so well, I'm just going to keep rolling through.
Nice.
Alex, let's go ahead and do the first question here. This is from Caleb Burton, the electric fat ass Pokemon.
I love that name.
What are the best propaganda songs for the four political compass ideologies? Now, that's like economic left, economic right, and I forget the other one. I think it's libertarian left, libertarian right, or something.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think so.
You're not going to JonTron me, Mr. Caleb Burton, you fat ass electric Pokemon. I ain't going to say anything political on my podcast. But it's like, do you know what the political compass is, Alex?
Yes, I'm very slowly, like AOL dial-up, processing four different songs that can be political compasses, but I'm not really savvy guy, so I'm just kind of like,
well, here it
burning
is, here it
my
Alex.
Brain.
Think of the SpongeBob one, where it's like, why don't you try getting a job? It's basically that thing.
Well, now you compare it to SpongeBob. Now I get it. But
the only one I could think of is there's the song that Dan, the Dungeon Master from Revival, a Dungeon Dragons Real Play podcast, who it's called Street Sex, like S-E-C-T-S. And it is the sound of a far right. Fuck, I don't remember the exact four terms of the political compass, but it's basically the sound of like a sci-fi cyberpunk street riot, and it's like 5 seconds of pretty much just noise. So that's my political ideology.
I have literally nothing to say because I am not a political savvy man. So my
man,
political
Alex.
Song is nothing. I got nothing. Move on to the next question. I'm dying out here.
That was a productive one. So this question is from Isaac is in Smash as an assist trophy.
Ow, my feelings.
Since Goobisoft, got their hands on Star Fox for that Starlink game, how long until they make a spin-off bootleg Assassin's Creed clone starring Cursed from Star Fox Adventure? No.
Command.
Now, this is actually... No, this is a goober question. This is a big goober of a question, right?
Yeah.
But it brings up a fun idea. Nintendo has licensed out their first-party IPs to other people to make stuff for. Capcom made the Game Boy Advance Zelda games, for example.
Well, fun fact, actually. Pretty much every single Star Fox game after the first two were licensed out to other people. Rare did Adventures, Namco did Assault, and what are they goddamn called? It's called, like, Q Games, I think, who did Command. And then Platinum Platinum did fucking Zero.
Interesting. Do you think Ubisoft, because Star Fox, okay, now with Starlink, is Star Fox actually like an integral part of the plot? Is he like kind of like a whole chapter or something?
So I haven't gotten it yet. Whenever I get like a fucking like bonus, I want to pick it up because it's like an $80 fucking game because you gotta buy the stupid fucking like Arwing that comes with it, right? So it's expensive as shit. The only $8 I'm dropping is on Smash Bros, you dig? But with Starlink, from what I've seen, is that they're in the intro bit. Like, they're actually there in the little intro cutscenes, just super fucking weird. They're part of the story, then they get, like, the Starlink technology, with, like, Nova Fuel or whatever, and then they fuck off to their own campaign that you can play through. They have their own story where they're trying to go find and kick Wolf's ass.
It almost sounds like they started with a Star Fox game, and then Nintendo's like, well, here, if you make something else as well, because we don't want you to have this under a Star Fox title, but we can let you use him because we're not using him for anything. And man, you know, Alex, a game that's released early that's bad is bad forever.
Hmm.
But a game that's delayed turns out good.
Hmm. Well, I had the... My assumption was the other way around, where it was they wanted to have Starlink, and then Miyamoto, because he just likes Star Fox a lot, and but also likes to ruin it a lot, too, is like, hey, why don't you put Fox McCloud in there, just like what he did with Rare? And so, instead of remaking the entire game to be a Star Fox game like Rare did, they just made Star Fox a bonus campaign. Because
that sounds more plausible.
You remember, really. If I recall correctly, Starlink's on other systems. But it just doesn't have
the Star Fox content on there?
No, it's only in the Switch version.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I mean, do you think that's well,
to answer the original question,
there's as much of a chance of a new Star Fox game as there is a new Paper Mario game. So,
well, here's the
hopefully
thing. There actually is a little thing I wanted to talk about with that, but I never thought I'd get the chance. Is so you know Nintendo Amiibos, right?
Yeah.
I read this whole thing where Nintendo actually looks very carefully at the Amiibo sales, because they kind of look at them like a popularity contest. Whichever characters are selling a lot of, that means fans like those characters a lot, right? So the Star Fox characters' amiibos all sold super, super well, so they know that people like the characters, just that people don't like these games, so what do we do to fix this? So,
okay.
The potential of a Star Fox game coming out is not as bad as you might think. There's also a similar thing with Samus, actually. That's why they started making Metroid Prime 4 in the first place, because the amiibo for Samus was selling so well, despite the fact that Other M was so shit and everyone hated it. They thought everyone just hated Samus now, but they just hated the game. They still loved the character.
You know what this makes me think of? I don't think there's a single official Paper Mario, like, thing that you can buy from Nintendo. I don't think that, like, outside of, like, buying shirts at GameStop 5 years ago or something, you know?
Well,
I don't think there's any, like, any fun, weird Paper Mario stuff that Nintendo makes.
Because Nintendo usually just makes, like, merchandise kind of stuff for just, like, Mario and Zelda. But anyway, to answer the original question, no, that sounds terrible. But if Ubisoft wants to try their hand at another Star Fox game, Starlink was the best rated Star Fox game in finger quotes in the past few years, so they're already better off than everyone else. So sure, why don't they take another crack at it?
Speaking of cracks, so this one here is from Sick Cakes. Would you ever wear leather pants? I have one time and they were hot and had no ventilation. This is kind of similar to a question I had before, where technically I have worn a fursuit because I wore a Cookie Monster costume and it was just a fursuit. Don't let anyone tell you any differently. If you're wearing a mascot costume, that's a fursuit. Now, I haven't worn leather pants, but I imagine they would be very sweaty, and I've worn sweatpants, so, you know. I wore sweatpants when I had my Knight of Doom costume that I wore to PAX, a video game convention, not comics, video games. So, you know, I've done that. I think that's basically the same. Wouldn't you agree, Alex?
Yes, that's exactly the same. Sweatpants are the exact same as other pants. And, you know, I wear a lot of pajama pants in my house, so they're basically the same thing. So, yeah, I wear leather pants every day.
You know who else wears leather pants every day? Jeron Thalatak from Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast.
I thought you were going to segue into the next question. I'm looking at this question, I was like, who the fuck is he talking about?
So, Alex, what is this next question? Who's it from?
Yeah, Level 1 Ogre. What are some of your favorite commercials? Now, Ogre, I am so happy you asked that, because I have been waiting for this question forever. And I've told Ted this fucking commercial 100 times over, so I'm going to tell you guys now. So there's this fucking Geico commercial that I saw at work, like, 2 or 3 years ago, and I thought it was the funniest shit. I laughed so fucking loud in that break room. So here's the commercial setup. It's like, hey, Dad, did you know that you can save 15% or more on car insurance by switching to Geico? Yeah, everyone knows that. Oh, yeah? Well, did you know Pinocchio makes a pretty good liar, or makes a pretty bad motivational speaker? And then it's Pinocchio, like, giving a fucking speech. He's like, I look at this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. And he points to one guy, you have potential, and his fucking nose starts growing, and the guy, like, looks down all fucking sad. And I laugh so fucking hard. It's so mean. But yeah, that's my favorite
commercial. Alex, how does it feel to be like, what else do you do with that Walmart breaker? You watch like normal ass sitcoms.
So is this,
what was the show that
I'm gonna say it. Okay, so there's this fucking sitcom called Black-ish, which is apparently Emmy Award winning, about like just like this black family. It just seems like a regular sitcom. I always saw this one episode where their dad is turning 65 and they have this running fucking joke in the goddamn episode, like, wow, 65? He must be the oldest living black man alive. Or and I just say it 100 times in the fucking show, and I was losing my shit. It was so funny because like they say it in the fucking like birthday party like 3 times, right? And then he goes to work, and then his boss, she's like just some white guy, right? His boss is like, whoa, your dad turned 65? Damn, he must be the oldest living black man. And I fucking lost it because I didn't expect him to say it.
See, because so what funny. I picture in my mind is you do that, like, that fucking single, ha, that it's you not fucking my name. Always do.
And there's this fucking sitcom with this, it's called, like, Modern Family, which is, it's not all that funny, but there was this one joke they said that was really fucking funny to me, because it's a situational comedy. The setup is, there's this gay couple, right? And their dads come in to visit, and their dads are cool with it in finger quotes, but both dads are basically trying to make their son seem like he's cooler than he is. So it's like, look, we both know that, you know, your son's a little, you know, eh. What does eh mean? What, you don't think my son's tough? He's from the country, you know. My son's pretty tough. You're like, dude, come on, he's totally the bottom. I mean, look at him. Look at how he acts. He's like, oh, what, you got a problem with that? And then they start, like, fighting, right? And so then it cuts to the sons, who are just, like, doing something. He's like, man, your dad's pretty cool. Yeah, they're getting along pretty well. Yeah, your dad seems pretty tough. He's like, well, he seems pretty city tough. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, like, look, we're from the country, right? Like, You guys don't know anything about how what we lived back there. And then they just have the exact same argument, but for their dads. I thought it was so fucking funny.
Was that the one where you were laughing and, like, slapping your knee and absolutely no one else was paying attention? They were all looking at their phones in the fucking break room.
It was either that or the middle, where there's the fucking weird kid of the family. Where, like, someone's, like, moving out of the fucking house and everyone's, like, sad about it, except for the weird kid. Who had to buy a replacement chair, but it came with a bundle that gave him 2 chairs. And he's like, oh, this is heaven. And everyone is, like, so fucking sad around him. So the entire, as the episode's going on, he just keeps buying more of these bundles of chairs and starts replacing every chair in the house with these fucking chairs. And they're, like, lawn chairs, right? So they're really fucking short. So they're trying to eat.
Wait, so it's like a vertical stack of chairs?
No. It's like, okay, so picture, like, he's got, like, a movie theater, like, setup of rows of just chairs, like, in the living room. We're, like, at the dinner table with the 4 chairs that you'd sit around the dinner table. He replaced them with the fucking lawn chairs, because he just keeps buying these stupid chairs because they're such good deals. And everyone's too busy, like, crying about, like, the sun moving out to, like, really give a shit. I thought it was so fun. And then through that episode, oh, wait, one more joke that was really funny, where the fucking neighbor lets her borrow, like, a thing of, like, peanut brittle. And he's like, hey, you're no problem for borrowing it. I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll pay you back. He's like, oh, you will? And then he leaves. He leaves with, like, a big smile on his face. It was so threatening. But yeah, I laugh at sitcoms. That's my guilty pleasure.
It kind of reminds me, I used to watch Malcolm in the Middle a lot.
Wait, Ted, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you. It just hit me. I was going to miss my chance to say this. You're half white, so you're half all right. Well, let me explain the context of that line really fast.
No, let's not. Let's just continue, Alex. Just leave it be there. What was the show it was from, though?
The Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons. You're half white, so you're half all right. This next question here. Oh, that's right.
Your commercial. Oh, yeah,
my favorite
mine.
Commercial. My favorite commercial is the Got Milk commercial for Mario 64, because I was, like, a loser kid, and so I had this discussion with Alex where I got very mad that the Got Milk commercial with Mario was not actually taking place in a normal level, And then he fucking pointed out to me it actually was. Yeah. It was in Wet Dry World. And it fucking blew my mind.
And you call yourself a Mario fan.
Us Mario heads, as we refer to ourselves.
Our Mario-ies.
This is a question from a fellow Mario man, Ned. With the recent, when you do the episode, Diablo Immortal drama, what is one game franchise that would make you flip your shit if it was turned into a mobile game?
Ooh, yikes.
Let's see. What game series do I enjoy that hasn't already been fucked?
Now, Tad, imagine in a world where Nintendo, who already has a hand in the video and in the mobile game market, they're like, hey, here's a Kirby mobile game. You have a 0.01% chance that whenever you spend $20, you can get one of the random Kirby powers. Sword Kirby super rare. No, Meta Knight is a super, super rare, right? That's like a 0.01% chance, Ted. You just don't get it.
If you actually install Kirby Star Wallets, the game decides right then and there if you get a 5-star or not.
What,
it will permanently gate you like that Dragon Ball Z game.
Dude, you better save up all your fucking Kirby Star Points to get the Galacta Knight raid up when he's out.
That's true. The game that would crush my soul would be if there was a mobile Paper Mario game. But, you know, like a Mario game that would be on like a handheld system, like a phone or a Nintendo DS, and you play it and, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with like any of the previous games in the genre or, you know, any of the fun things that made the games enjoyable. I think that would really just fucking destroy my soul. You know, Ted, it'd be the equivalent of like stepping on my dick with like a steel toed hammer, you know.
Now, Ted, have you ever considered getting over it?
No. So speaking of getting kicked in the dick with a steel toe boot, this one's from Phil the Muffin. Did you participate in No Nut November? And then he gets really gross with the rest of the sentence, so I'm not gonna read that. No, because that's a loser thing.
No, I did not either. You also skipped the question with Benedito.
Yes, I know, but it flowed better, Alex, if I went right into that. Oh. How the fuck am I gonna go? How am I gonna transition from this question from Benedetto? Who would win in a tag team fight? Keenan and Kel or Drake and Josh? Assume that all of them can reach Super Saiyan 2.
Drake and Josh win. That's too easy.
Now, Alex, here's the thing. Okay. Where is this arena? Where is this arena taken out? Is it at the multiplex from Drake and Josh? Or is it at the Good Burger?
Multiplex.
Okay. Now, Alex, you just pretty much gave the win to Keenan and Kel. Because you know what you can get at the multiplex? Orange soda.
I thought you were going to say, that's where there's the Megan stage hazard.
Well, the Megan stage hazard is...
Megan!
If Keenan and Kel... So, if Kel is not able to get the orange soda because Drake forgot to install the door to get to the snack bar, then they have to use the Megan special. It takes 5 bars of meter, but they summon Megan, and if she touches either Drake or Josh... It ruins their schemes, and then they get grounded for life.
So you have to remember, though, Tad, there's a trick question in there. You assume that all of them can reach Super Saiyan 2, right? But that doesn't mean they will. It just means they can. Who can get angry enough, and who has a pure enough heart to actually go Super Saiyan 2 in this fight? The answer is Josh. Only Josh can have that kind of power.
He has to get the Dragon Balls because they're spherical. Spherical! You know what, Alex? I think you've convinced me. I think Drake and Josh would win in a fight between the two. But who is... So obviously they're not going to finish each other off. They're going to fight and fight and fight until they're both done. But who is the person that shows up, the greater evil that they have to take down? Megan. Megan's final form. Because remember, she's got 4 different forms.
I was trying to think of a fucking other, like, two-person sitcom.
What was the manager of Josh's job that, like, I think she hated Josh, but she really liked Drake, and Jake was, like, a shitty worker, kind of like you?
Well, Drake didn't work there. Jake just showed up there.
That's right, he just showed up there and,
Remember, Josh worked with the fucking crazy guy Where he's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
He's working with
wasn't
the scrubber.
That crazy guy? Wasn't he the one? Didn't he show up in like iCarly?
Yeah, yeah. He plays the brother in iCarly. But I remember the one joke he did because it was relatable to me, where he has the scrubber. He's like, "You've been pretty calm today." He's like, "Well, yes. I've actually started to force my anger into other objects and project them as other things. That way, to help calm myself down. So look at these spots of dirt right here. I'm using with the cleaner. You see, I project them as being my dad. Take that, dad!" And he fucking like runs it over with a fucking scrubber. And I'm like, "Damn, that's me."
Okay, I think I know who they would need to stop, Alex. It's not Megan, because the Megan's already used. I already used her model earlier. It would be the two guys from Mr. Meaty, because they've gone too far.
That show was so fucking weird, dude.
I did not like it. Mr. Meaty seems like it would have been a show made by the fucking Xavier Renegade Angel people. Because they do puppet shows. They did Wonder Showzen, and then they have a new show on Adult Swim as well. It's on the streaming. What it's like on the website. They Adult Swim does this a lot. Where like at midnight they'll have premieres of stuff. Last Podcast on the Left has a show on Adult Swim that they do on Tuesdays at midnight, I think, and shit like that. So, this next question here, this is from Fox McCloud 23. Now, FK from Dido versus that BOB robot from Overwatch. Who wins? Both are force sensitive, which I don't think is a thing. I don't think robots are able to become force sensitive. Unless they're pure of heart enough, maybe? I'm not quite sure how the force works. I've only seen Star Wars like twice in my life.
Now, Tad, this question is actually very, very easy. We already know who's going to win. And it's like that Superman versus Goku death battle, right? Where people like try to analyze it and go all this stuff. But there's one simple fact. Goku's died multiple times. He can die. Superman's never died. Death battle, Goku loses. It's it, right? It's actually very simple and people just drag it out. With FK versus Bob, FK is a superhero. Bob is a supervillain who got bodied by McCree of all people. Superheroes always beat supervillains, and FK is the superhero who will win. The end.
That's true. And you know, he's also hotter than any other dog. Okay, I haven't played Overwatch. Who the fuck is Bob?
Bob is Ash's like right hand mook guy with a little bowler hat. She uses him as her ultimate. Where she says, "Bob, get in there." He like runs in, smacks people up, and then like fires his like fucking gun arm at people. He's pretty powerful, and he actually is coded as a hero, so he can capture objectives and shit. He doesn't move though. He like after he runs in, he then stays at one location, kind of like a super powerful sentry gun, and just fires everywhere. It's a lot of damage.
That's kind of cool. So, next question here. This one's from Alobite. Did you ever have a moment when a friend seemed completely out of the loop? For example, my friend didn't know who Stan Lee was until I brought up his death in a conversation. Alex, have you ever had someone who just totally fucking missed the boat on something that you assumed everyone knew about?
I was pretty much the guy always out of the loop because all I do is work and play video games. Like, I've had, or even back in like school, because I didn't really do much except for sleep through fucking school. People would say like, "Oh man, did you hear about like X actor who just did Y?" I'm like, "No." And that was pretty much the end of the conversation because then I went back to bed. I was very active in my youth.
I had that happen a lot when I was in school, where I just wouldn't even know like who an actor was, what their roles were. People would ask me about bands, I'd be like, "I don't fucking know who that guy is. Like, is this, should I know? I'm like 11. Get out of here." Let's see. Recently, have I had anyone just totally fucking blank on me? I did speak to someone who had no idea what Binding of Isaac was, which was, like, kind of weird. Besides that, I don't think, I mean, whatever. Some people like certain things. Did you know that the old ladies I work with at my current job, which I'm leaving in, like, a week and a half to start at a pharmacy, don't know about Kamen Rider? Alex, when they Googled it, they typed in scoff, C-O-M-M-O-N. Oh, can you believe it? Yikes.
God damn it, fuck off. I don't have a follow-up to that.
So, next question here from Brad. Tad, you've mentioned you've taken German classes before. How much German do you know? And Alex, do you know any other languages? My German class, I took it in high school. I took 4 years of it. The first 2 years were actually really rough and I enjoyed it because it was a lot of work. And then we hit year three and we tried to watch Avatar in like a 40-minute class. Alex, Avatar is like a 4.5-hour long movie. We didn't even watch it in German. We put German subtitles on. She just like didn't give a shit anymore.
Okay, so when you said Avatar, I was worried it was going to be the stupid cartoon.
No, no, no. We also tried watching Finding Nemo, and we had it in German at the start, but then she just like got up and just put it to English. So
I imagine she probably didn't know much German then. Fuck.
I guess she did, but like, I don't know. I don't know. That was a weird class. After the first 2 years, it was kind of odd because it seemed like she did like whatever state minimum she needed to weed out the weirdos. So I don't remember much German at all. I know that it's structurally pretty similar to English, other than the fact that it has masculine, feminine, and gender-neutral words, which, come on, Germany, it's 2018. How do you know that a word identifies as masculine or not? Honestly, it's pretty pretty heteronormative of you, and I don't appreciate it.
So with me, I don't really know any languages. I never really cared to learn anything else, but my dad taught me Yaish Gadai, which is like one of the one or two words ways you can say I love you in Danish, because my dad is from Denmark and he was very, very proud of it and would never shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then his ankles exploded.
And then, you know, my dad had like the one or two good things he did, and then, you know, the billion other bad things he did. Anyway, next question. From Max P, what is the worst real-life interaction you've ever had with a Homestuck fan? And were you involved in any Homestuck friend groups? I'm progressively getting closer to my mic, so Ted understands the one person in the world who I'm going to mention. So, there's this kid named Ted I met in high school in gym class. And he was like, biggity bam wham waz, look at me, I love Homestuck. You like Homestuck too? Homestuck this and Homestuck that. Check out my Homestuck shoes.
Technically, I do have Homestuck shoes.
God damn it.
They weren't colored correctly, though, because the tertiary color in A Night of Doom is yellow, and I did not have yellow shoes. Did I ever tell you about my Homestuck suicide blanket, Alex?
You might as well.
Now, I did the math. And I've spent about $700 on Homestuck stuff. I added up everything. I added up every poster I bought, every Christmas present I bought for someone else. I bought some bed sheets for $45 that are too fucking small for one person. But they're the bed sheets that you kill yourself on in the comic. So, you know, looking forward to that. I got to reach the top of my echelon ladder first so I can ascend.
You see, Ted,
but
you spent $700. Yes, you spent $700 on Homestuck, but why don't you instead spend $700 on Fate Grand Order? You could have maybe gotten 2 whole 5 stars with that.
Yikes. I actually, believe it or not, and Alex can probably easily believe this, I did not have many friends who were interested in talking about Homestuck.
Huh, until, that's kind of like, weird, isn't it?
Until like 2016. The first episode of the podcast that I deleted was because I was so desperate to find someone to talk about Homestuck with as it was ending. I ended up doing accidental gay Homestuck role-playing. The episode's still up in one place, but I don't know if you can find it. Are you enough of a daring sleuth? I think I already told the story like 3 times.
I mean, it's just a low-quality episode because it was the first episode ever. You guys aren't missing much. But
yeah.
Speaking of you having no friends, I'm going to say it again, just so people who might don't want to dig through like 8 noise voices to hear it. So this one fucking time when he was arguing with this goddamn kid moderator on a fucking website that only he cared about. Yes, I'm still, yes, like 15 years later, I'm still mad about it. I'm doing literally anything else. I don't know what. Let's just say I'm playing WoW or something, right? And then you come in with your Homestuck messenger you forced me to install, by the way. And you're like...
Forgot about Pester Chum.
oh shit, Alex, I need your help arguing with this kid moderator. I'm like, why? I'm busy. Still hasn't changed, by the way. And he says, he doesn't believe I have any friends. So I have to go into a fucking, like, live chat with him and this mod to prove that he has friends by typing at the same time. But I tabbed out because I didn't care. So, like, because I didn't say anything, he totally believes that you were just switching accounts and you had no friends. So this kid thinks he won the argument and thinks that right now, 10 years later, you're the biggest loser ever.
Well, joke's on him. I have a podcast now, and all of my internet history on that website got nuked when the website went offline. So I got away scot-free. Yeah, so Homestuck sucks. By the way, probably aiming to do the final Homestuck, probably for episode 100.
Will that be in Homestuck month?
Shut up, Alex. So, keep an eye out for that, if you unfortunately still like Homestuck. I guess that's about it then, Alex. Let's go ahead and do the Patreon shoutouts. I'll go ahead and I'll read the first few, and then you read the second half.
Got it.
I want to give a big ups to Chris Farnell, Legendary Zephyr, Briss Bipchap. I swear to God, I think he changes his name each time. And then Alex, that's A-L-E-X-F.
Then we also give shout-outs to fucking James Tonison, Tonisian, Tonison. We'll give it to James, Fox McCloud 23, Asirius, and Phil the Muffin.
This is a good one. I like these. Send us more goofy ones, like Benedetto did. Those are fun. I like those. So, thanks for listening. December is going to be the last month that I really have free for a while. In January, it's looking like I'm going to be working full-time and going to school almost full-time. So, if that is the case, there might be one episode that whole month. If it does end up being the case, I'll figure something out with, like, the Patreon and stuff like that. But, That'll be in January. I'll talk more about that once we get to the questions of the month for December. So, thanks for listening. You can find the podcast on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. You can actually, if you're playing on a PlayStation 4, you could put Spotify on in the background where you play other games. So you can listen to the podcast that way. Just search for Let Me Tell You About or Revival, Dungeons & Dragons Real Play Podcast. Discord in the description. Patreon in the description. Thanks again for listening in, and Alex, I'm gonna put you back on the spot again.
Oh no, really funny line.
You better think of something real funny, Alex. Someone's gonna think you're not cool.
Oh no, no. Let it be known that I will forever and ever be cooler than Tad, because at least I didn't have to pretend I had friends that I didn't have.
Ow.